As usual, Diane, wonderful. Well, good morning again. Reminder to everybody to please fill out the friendship register sheets at the end of the pews and pass them down so everybody can sign. If you're a guest or someone new to our congregation, please fill in all the information so we have some contact information for you. I call your attention to the, I think it's called goldenrod, is the proper term for it, sheet that is in your bulletin on the announcements. A couple items just to touch upon. The Heart Mountain trip, today is the last day to register for the trip. So if you want to register to go to Heart Mountain, everyone's available. The costs and itinerary are pretty much out on the bulletin board. Take a look at it, get signed up today, so you have a chance to experience this awesome trip. Scholarship applications are due in the church office by Thursday, August 10th. That's right around the corner, so they can get those taken care of. Blanket Ministry will be taking blankets to the Youth Crisis Center on August 30th. So if Debbie, are you any times between now and then you'll be doing blankets?
Not sure yet.
Okay. So stay tuned to see if you want to do a blanket or not. You have that opportunity. So reminder that we do have elders meeting. So any elders that are in church today, that's tomorrow night at 6:30 here in the boardroom. I don't see him, so I think I'm okay to read this. Can you keep a secret? So Ed Burgess is turning 80, and we're hosting a surprise party for him. Please come celebrate with us Saturday, September 2nd, 2017, at the Casper Shrine Club from 1 to 5 p.m. And there's a phone number here. You can RSVP to Linda. They would like to see a lot of people there to help him celebrate his 80th birthday. So if you want more information, you can probably need the phone number. You can probably call the church office, and Kathy probably has the number and that, because I don't know that I want to post this on the bulletin board. Any other announcements today? Oh, Debbie. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
There's a silver Suzuki with headlights on, if that rings a bell for anybody, you might buzz out to the parking lot.
Yes, sir. Well, it looks like we're done with announcements. Dr. Badger, pleasure to see you in church this morning. You're clear in the back in there. Thought maybe you might get away from me, but I see you back there. So, and then, so let us stand now and greet one another before we sing our opening hymn, number 497.
So he's saying, well, yeah, the kids go, which I'm so happy.
The call to worship this morning is found in your chalice hymnal on page 759. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of God.
Happy are those who keep God's decrees,
who seek God with their whole heart.
Who also do no wrong, but walk in God's way.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Let us pray. O gracious God, we're thankful for the opportunity to come together this fine morning to share in the joy and the love that you have brought forth from us when you rose from the tomb and helped everyone understand that God is great, God is good, and that he loves us all. You taught us this in the prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
may be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 112 in the Chalice Hymnal, Holy Ground. We'll sing it through two times. The children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. I think Caleb and Evan might be the only ones upstairs with us. There are a couple more down in the nursery today. How are you guys this morning? You've had a good week?
Yeah.
So are you starting to count down days till school starts? I wonder if Mom is counting days. Not yet. Counting down days till your vacation, and it starts on Tuesday?
Yep.
And tell everybody where you guys are going.
We're going to Hawaii.
Hawaii! Yay! What a fun, fun place to go. Have you ever been there before?
No.
Me neither. You'll have to tell me what it's like.
Okay.
When you guys are in Hawaii, I think one of the things you will do is you'll go to the beach. And my guess is when you're at the beach, you'll take off your shoes and walk in the sand. When you're walking on the sand and you have your shoes off, there's a verse of scripture you might think about. It's the story of Moses. God came and appeared to Moses in a burning bush. He was walking in the wilderness and he saw this bush that looked like it was on fire. It was flaming. It was crackling. It caught his attention, but it didn't burn up. And he walked closer to investigate, and he heard the voice of God say, "Moses, take off your shoes. Where you are standing is holy ground." Sometimes when I pray, I take off my shoes so that my feet can feel the earth beneath my feet. Any place we go, we are with God. And when we're in the presence of God, we're standing on holy ground. So when we're at church and there's a nice soft carpet and our toes feel the carpet, we know we're on holy ground and we can pray. But when we're walking outside, we can pray then too. And when you guys are on the beach and you take off your shoes, I want you to just, on your own, just say a quiet prayer when you're there. Thank God for how beautiful Hawaii is, how lucky you are to be there. Whatever else God puts on your heart, I want you to take off your shoes and think about holy ground. Can you do that?
Yep.
Cool. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you for calling all of your people to be mindful that we live and walk on holy ground. Lord, let us treat with care the earth beneath our feet. Let us show compassion to brothers and sisters in the human family who may have cold feet in the winter for no socks, who may lack shoes and have their feet be cut. Lord, keep us mindful that every step we take in life, we are following you. Bless the Woods family with safe travel and bring them home to us. Bless us all, O God, when we stand and walk on holy ground. Amen. You guys can head out to Worship and Wonder today. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. As we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew pocket in front of you and take out a prayer card, a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card tower this morning is for Scott Hawley and family. Is Scott en route coming home from Wisconsin from scout camp? They get home tonight? Wonderful. Scott's dad, Floyd, will be buried on Wednesday. The family will have a memorial service at 10 a.m. at Oregon Trails. The congregation is providing a luncheon for the family at 11:30. If you'd like to help with that, you can talk with Darlene Bishop or Wanda Leeling. Our prayers are with Scott, with his wife, Jen, with their boys, Nathan and Zach, and with his mom, Joyce, and all of the family. We continue to pray for those who are living with cancer, who are undergoing treatment or in remission. We pray for those with long-term illnesses who need strength and support, as well as God's healing. Our community and world concerns today include prayers for the missionaries Jeffrey and Martha Mincindic, who are disciple missionaries in Japan. Our denomination has a long history of working with that country. And since August 6th, 72 years ago, was the date when the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, our Japanese missionaries encourage us to pray specifically today for peace in the world, that never again will that form of devastating war be known upon the earth. Our prayer partners this morning are the members of Mount Air Christian Church in Lakewood, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. It is a blessing to be in partnership with others in ministry. A few weeks ago, when Stan and Darlene were down in Colorado, Stan was in the hospital. I called up Ruben Rodriguez, who is the minister at Mount Air, and I said, "Ruben, I need you to make a hospital call for me because I can't get there." And he went and visited Stan and prayed with Stan and Darlene at the hospital. They had a wonderful time of Christian friendship. And so it's a blessing now for our church to pray for Reuben and to send greetings to the members of Mount Air. Are there others this morning that we need to hold in prayer, or joys we want to share, or concerns to name? Debbie. Thank you, Debbie, for that reminder. I think very often we say, "How are you?" And what we really mean is, "Hi, I'm busy, see you later." One of the gifts of the sandwich ministry is that when our volunteers ask people, "How are you?" they take the time to really listen to that response. So I encourage us today to pray for these two men who are struggling. Diane.
My Uncle Jerry passed away this week.
We are so sorry. Prayers of support for Diane and her family. Uncle Jerry passed away. Prayers of peace and comfort for all who will miss him. A joy to share as well today. Cal and Monica Decker are celebrating their 51st wedding anniversary on August 6th, 51 years ago. They were married right here in this sanctuary, and they promised to love one another forever and ever. This morning during the chapel service, they renewed their vows, and they still promise to love one another forever and ever. There is cake waiting for you during fellowship time after service in honor of the Deckers' 51st anniversary. We rejoice with them. Anything else this morning? Then let us turn to God in a time of silence as we pray together. Almighty God, every step we take, you watch over your people. When we are uncertain and faltering, you give us courage. When we are strong and steady and sure-footed, you walk beside us. O Lord, we pray for those this day who walk with faltering step. We pray for those bowed down by the burden of grief, weakened by ill health, overwhelmed by life. Lord, we ask you to draw near and comfort all who mourn. We pray today for Scott, who will bury his dad on Wednesday. We pray for his family. We thank you for the life of Floyd Hawley, for his service to his country as an Air Force pilot, for his love for his family. And thank you for seeing him through a long battle with Parkinson's and blessing him now with peace and rest. Comfort his widow Joyce and all who mourn for him. Lord, we ask you to draw near to Diane as she grieves for Uncle Jerry. Bless her with your peace that passes all understanding. O Lord, for those who bear the burden of grief from years ago, we pray for sustaining strength. On August 6th, we are reminded of the bomb that fell on Hiroshima and the lives that were lost. While grateful that it hastened the end of a world war, we mourn the suffering that it caused. We pray for the world in which we live, that your peace might be known among all people, between nations, and in homes. Lord, we pray that never again will nuclear weapons be used on this planet. We pray for wisdom for leaders who have the opportunity to move closer to peace or away from it. O God, guide the words and understanding of those with great responsibility. We thank you, Holy One, for the work of missionaries around the world, especially Jeffrey and Martha, and the service they give in Japan. We thank you for servants who are faithful in the sandwich ministry, who feed our neighbors, not just with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to satisfy physical hunger, but also with the listening ear of genuine friendship and compassion to, in some small way, meet the hunger of people who feel unheard and unloved. Lord, this week, when Debbie said, "How are you?" two men burdened her with the story of how hard their lives are. We pray today for each of them, that you would give them courage and strength in the struggles they face. Lord, we pray for those who live with mental illness, who struggle with disease, with grief, with heartache, with imbalance in their body and mental well-being. Lord, we pray for your healing to come. Thank you for Pastor Reuben and the healing prayer he offered for Stan and Darlene. We pray today for the congregation he leads at Mount Air Christian Church in Lakewood. Lord, bless their worship with an extra measure of the presence of your Spirit and strengthen the community that they share. Oh God, we rejoice with Cal and Monica in the renewal of their vows and promising after 51 years to still love forever and ever each other. Thank you for the faithful ways in which, through sickness and health, they have lived out their vows. Bless all who are married to do likewise. O Lord Christ, there are burdens in our hearts and lives that we do not know how to name aloud before others, but we name them to you. We thank you for looking within us and answering even those prayers that we cannot speak. O gracious one, we thank you for your abiding love and watching over every step we take. Amen. Each Sunday, as we share communion, the bread and the cup are offered to all who believe in Jesus to share together God's presence. In the summertime, we invite you to come forward to partake of the bread, to take a piece and dip it in the cup. This morning, in addition to pieces of bread that are already prepared for you, there is also a loaf that will be broken. The loaf of bread is fresh baked by Peg. We are thankful for her gift to us and the ways in which that this gift of bread reminds us of God's gift to the world, the love of Jesus, broken for us, poured out. Let's prepare to share communion by singing together, "Christ is Risen, Shout Hosanna," number 222. As we come to the table, we sing Hosanna for the risen Christ, and we remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Welcome to your table, your painful sacrifice in our mind. We look at the communion bread. We see pierced, we see bruising. We see the brutality of the punishment that you endured for us. We see your everlasting love. We gaze at the blood of redemption. We see the crimson mercy shimmering in this cup. We see your life being poured out for us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. In Jesus' name we celebrate this communion. Amen.
To shine on me, and that my soul knows very well. Forgiveness, hope, I know on mine, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, I'll stand by the power of your hand, and in your heart of hearts I'll dwell, and that my soul knows very well. The joy and strength each day I find, and that my soul knows very well. Forgiveness, hope, I know is mine, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, I'll stand by the my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, I'll stand by the power of your hand, and in your heart of hearts I'll dwell, and that my soul knows very well. And
Gracious God, we ask you to bless the tithes and offerings and the cards that have been placed here, reaching out to touch their lives. We ask that you bless these tithes so that they can be put to your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning can be found in the New Testament on page 33 from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Our reading continues at the end of the chapter in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, as we stand on holy ground, we long for your presence to draw near. Bless us with wisdom as we reflect on your word, that when we walk forth from this place, our steps might faithfully follow you. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During the four Sundays of August, in what is normally our Sunday school hour time in between worship services, I am sharing slides and reflections of our trip to Europe. This morning, I shared some pictures from the first few days that Charles and I were in Rome, visiting different churches, including St. Maria Sopra Minerva and the Pantheon. It was an interesting time. In preparing these slides, I've had fun kind of reliving that trip and thinking about stories to share with you, and I decided to challenge myself in some small way to have each Sunday's sermon somehow tie in with the pictures that I would share for you. This morning on the front of your bulletin, there is a rather unusual photograph of a rather unusual relic. There's a small church in Rome called St. John the Baptist of the Florentines. I found it really by accident because it's right next to the bus where if you stay where Charles and I happen to stay and you take the bus into town, you get off, it's the first church you see. It turns out that St. John the Baptist of the Florentines has a special chapel dedicated around this unusual relic. It is the foot of Mary Magdalene. Now, for those of us who have no Catholic background, the practice of praying in front of the bones of a saint seems a little strange, perhaps even somewhat macabre. Yet, for many of the faithful, visiting a shrine dedicated to a relic is a way to focus one's prayers on a specific part of the Christian story. So this morning, I invite us to reflect with focused intensity on the feet of Mary Magdalene and also on our own feet. The sign next to this relic says the first foot to step into the tomb of the risen Savior. So if you think about it, Mary Magdalene was among those women who went to the tomb after Jesus had been crucified, planning to prepare his body for its earthly rest. And when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Now, depending on which gospel account you read, Mary may or may not have been the first one to step into the tomb. In researching this topic a little bit, I found one commentator ask an interesting question. If this really truly is the foot of Mary Magdalene, which it's purported to have been believed so since about the 13th century, that's a while after Jesus' death, the commentator asks, if it's really the foot of Mary Magdalene, how do we know which foot she put into the tomb first? Seems like a valid question. But the point of most of these relics in European churches is not exactly the historical authenticity of a specific finger bone from a certain saint or a foot from a beloved woman. More, it is the spiritual implication that comes with pondering such a thing in prayer. So think for just a moment, if you can, what it would be like to walk in Mary Magdalene's shoes if we could. To walk with those women on that first Easter morning when we know the rest of the story, it was a joyous day, but for them, it was a day of horrific grief. Their Lord and friend. For Mary Magdalene, the rabbi who had forgiven her and accepted her, was dead. They were headed to the cemetery. Surely they walked with slow, pausing, perhaps even faltering, hesitant gait to get to the tomb. What a difference it made for Mary's feet to walk towards the tomb weighed down by grief and then to turn and run with joy, lifted by life. To know that Jesus is actually alive. Her feet undoubtedly flew as she raced to the disciples to tell them the good news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. There are times in our own lives when our feet walk slowly, weighed down by grief or struggle or pain. And there are times in our lives when we walk this earth that it feels as if we're floating on the clouds. That new grandbaby's just been born. You just said, I do. You just renewed your vows after 51 years of marriage. You know what joy that lifts and lightens your spirit. In all those steps of life, God is with us. Christ walks beside us. Jesus promised the 11 disciples, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." When you walk through life and you are aware that Jesus is walking next to you, it makes such a profound difference. Those burdens are not quite so heavy when you can turn to the Lord in prayer, when you have the support of a Christian community to walk with you, to pray with you, perhaps even in some way to help shoulder the burden you feel, whatever it may be. And our joys are multiplied when we share them with others. When one weeps, all weep. When one rejoices, all rejoice. For Christ is with us in the midst of Christ's body, the church. But where our feet go and what our feet do matters if we are people of faith. Mary Magdalene's life had enough significance that generations, thousands of years after she walked this earth, her foot inspires people to pray, to ponder what it means to walk more closely to God. Now, if I pass away tomorrow, Lord forbid, if I'm struck by a bus or drop dead, Charles knows I want to be cremated. I don't necessarily want to have somebody cut off one of my feet, plate it in silver, and mount it as a monument in a church. Here is the foot of the preacher who preached. Here is the foot of the servant who followed the Lord. No thanks, just take my ashes someplace and do something with them. But I do wonder, in living my life, do my feet go the places that God wants me to go? If someone else were to ponder your feet when they prayed, would they be thankful for where your feet have walked? Would they offer to God a word of gratitude that your feet carried you through the valley of the shadow of death and you knew no evil, for the Lord was with you? If your family was to ponder your feet when they prayed, would they be thankful for the miles you walked to work to provide a home in which they could live? Would your grandchildren remember with delight your feet skipping rope with them, or running and playing tag, or carrying them on a weary night? Are there things that your feet have done? Are there places your feet have gone that give glory to God? And if not, what are you going to do about it? Where will you go this week for your feet to be faithful to Jesus? This past week, a small group of us met with Joanne Bell Haynes, our new regional minister of the Central Rocky Mountain region. She was in town on her way from Laramie to Sheridan to go to the fly fishing and theology retreat, and she stopped here in Casper for the first of what I'm sure will be several planning meetings for regional assembly. She shared with us that the theme for next fall's regional assembly that we'll host here in Casper is putting feet to our faith. We're going to reflect together as a church about what it means to go to the places where God wants us to go, to be the hands and the feet of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew ends with what is often called the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." As Christians, that's our command to go, not to sit on the couch and be a couch potato, or to let our feet carry us to church, sit in our pew, and go back home and do nothing else all week long. Our commission, just as it was given to those 11 apostles, our commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, to tell all people, those who live next door and those who live around the world, those who are rich and those who are poor, those who are black, those who are white, those who are gay, those who are straight, those who speak Spanish, those who speak Arabic or English or French or Italian, we are to go and share the good news of God's love with all people. That's something that our feet can help us do this very week. When we walk the streets of Casper, when we walk our own neighborhood, when we walk into the grocery store, when we walk home from church today, our feet will carry us someplace where there is someone who does not yet truly know what it means to love Jesus and be loved by Jesus. Go and make disciples. In the Greek, the only active verb in this whole sentence is actually a form of discipling. That is itself the verb. Not just be a disciple, but disciple someone else. Lead someone else to follow Jesus. In order for others to follow in our footsteps and for it to mean anything, our feet need to follow in the path of Jesus. Psalm 119 that we read as a call to worship this morning says that thy word, the scriptures of God, are a light unto our feet, a light for our path. God's word is given as a gift to guide us in our everyday walk. As we go and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching others to obey Jesus just as we do. When I was in seminary in Lexington, Kentucky, there was one evening that a group of us at the campus decided to take a break and walk downtown to a movie theater. The film we saw was Brother Sun, Sister Moon, the life story of St. Francis. We walked downtown to see this film because we knew it would be about someone who might inspire our faith, but we were also just taking a break from studying. It just so happened that there was a rainstorm that evening in Lexington, and by the time we got to the movie theater, we were soaked. My feet were particularly wet. It was as if I had stomped in the middle of puddles on the way, even though I just walked on the sidewalk. So I unlaced my tennis shoes and set them to the side and stripped off my socks so they could dry a little bit while we watched the movie. At one point in the cinematic portrayal of the story of St. Francis, this young monk is rebuilding a church. He's taken a vow of poverty and is living simply. He's turned his back on the wealthy upbringing he had when his father offered him the family business of being a merchant trading in rich fabrics. Francis walked away. The story goes that his father was so enraged, he pointed out to his son that even the clothes on his back were a gift from dad, and if he turned his back on his heritage, he was turning his back on everything. And so the story is told that Francis stripped naked and left town. They didn't show that graphically in the movie, for which I'm thankful. But later on in his life, he's living in poverty by choice. Living simply so that others may simply live. And he's out in the countryside rebuilding a small chapel, and he's doing so barefooted. Block by block, he carries stones to rebuild the walls of a damaged church, and while he's doing so, he begins to preach. The only congregation he has is the birds and the wild animals. The story of St. Francis that night so inspired me that when the movie was over, I looked at my bare feet in a modern air-conditioned theater, And I thought about what Francis's feet would have looked like after he built a church, calloused and hard. And I picked up my socks and still damp shoes and carried them all the way back to campus. I didn't understand what was happening, but something inside of me changed spiritually that semester in seminary. The next day, when I got up to go to class, I physically could not put on my shoes. I was still thinking about St. Francis, and so I went to class barefoot. It was spring. The grass was green. It was truly a lovely day. None of the professors said anything that morning. A week later, when I still hadn't put my shoes on my feet, unbeknownst to me, the faculty of Lexington Theological Seminary met in private session to discuss this barefoot seminarian. What are we going to do about Cynthia Dobson? It was after their meeting, when a professor came and talked to me, that I actually learned there was a theological and historical precedent for what I was experiencing. There's actually an entire order of Catholic nuns called the Discalced Carmelites. They spend much of their vocational life barefoot as a physical sign of solidarity with people around the world who live in such poverty. Shoes are not an option. When discalced Carmelites live in cold climates in order to prevent the entire convent of nuns from having pneumonia, they make a concession and wear simple leather sandals. Someone on the faculty said, well, if she wants to be discalced, maybe we should get her a pair of Birkenstocks. We reached a compromise. When I worked in the development office, when people from the public would be around the seminary in a professional setting, since there was a dress code, I was expected to wear shoes. The rest of the time, when I was on campus and going to class, no one would interfere with my theological statement. I really wasn't trying to make a statement, I just had a hard time putting on my shoes. I cried every time. Because you see, I was also working in Eastern Kentucky with children in rural Appalachia who came from families that were poor enough that some of them who had shoes got them from a Goodwill barrel, a big tub of cast-off donations from other people, worn-out sneakers that didn't fit. I would sit in class and hear profound theological statements about the love of God, and then I would see barefoot kids in America. And I felt such a strong disconnect that I just couldn't put on my shoes. So I got a pair of cheap sandals. And any time I occasionally might go out to eat or in some public establishment that had a sign that said, shirt, shoes required for service, I would slip on my sandals when I went in the door so they could serve me, and then when I'd walk out to the parking lot, I'd take my sandals off and be barefoot the rest of the time. I spent a whole semester walking on holy ground. Every day I was aware what the temperature was of the grass and the bare earth and the sidewalk, and how different it felt to be indoors and outdoors. I paid attention to the world in ways I never had before, and to be honest, may not have since. Finally, when time for graduation came, I was singing in the seminary chorus, and the choral director instructed me that I would wear shoes. Basically, she said, if you want to graduate, put your shoes on for the concert. So I did. But when it was time for me to walk across the stage and receive my diploma, a certificate of the Master of Divinity degree, a sign on a piece of paper that I was as prepared as I could be to begin working as a minister, when it came time for me to stand and walk across the stage and stick out my hand to Michael Kinneman, who was our dean at the time, I slipped off my shoes. because I truly felt I was on holy ground answering God's call. I still remember that Michael reached out and embraced me and whispered in my ear, properly discalced as it should be, the theological term for being barefoot for spiritual reasons. Every once in a while, even now, when I pray, I find myself slipping off my shoes and reflecting on how lucky I am to have multiple pairs of shoes in my closet, because not everyone does. And as I pray, I wiggle my toes and think of all the different places in the world where it feels different to stand barefoot. On soft green grass, on crunchy pine needles, on hot desert sand, on a splashing Pacific Island beach. Every place we walk in the presence of God. I thought about all of that when I sat at St. John the Baptist of the Florentines in Rome and looked at a silver-plated foot that may or may not have actually belonged to Mary of Magdala. I wonder, if someone looks at your feet, what journey will they see? May it be one of faith. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication is number 344, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. If your feet are ready to follow the feet of Christ, we invite you to come forward this morning and confess your faith in the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you here at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. Let us all ponder the ways and places where we will walk in the coming week as we stand and sing together, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to remind you that downstairs in Fellowship Hall, waiting for a time of refreshment for us, not only is there coffee, there is wedding cake to celebrate Cal and Monica's 51st anniversary. I hope that you'll stay, have a piece of cake, enjoy some conversation and fellowship. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we have decided to follow you. Help us to follow you this week. Help our feet to go where you want our feet to go as we disciple others to follow you. No turning back. Bless your people with peace as we go forth to live and to love in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.